take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So, you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Hoffman Show, Final 45 here on the Team 980. Final 45 because the Wizards are on tonight. We're actually on until 6:45 all week. Monumental Sports team properties are cutting our show short 15 minutes at a time. Wizards have not one, not two, but three home games this week. We also got Caps hockey for you Tuesday and Friday. I mean, depending on how crazy Ovi gets, who knows? Maybe we got a goal-scoring record. But right now, we're talking Zardos, which means it's time to bring in Dave Johnson.
Right corner, Kispert open for three, it's there!
Time to get the radio party started.
Feeds now, the right block of Alsar, slam!
It's time for Dave Johnson on a Wizards game day.
Blocked by Colabali! Left wing, George, 3 on the clock for three, it's there!
Feel like busting loose.
From the broadcast booth at Capital One Arena, Dave is with us. Hello, Dave.
Hello there. And because they got these spotlights going on, there's one shining right in my eye.
Oh, beautiful.
I'm not going to be able to call the game tonight. I'm not sure exactly what it adds to the production, but we play on. And we're looking forward to Wizards Radio coming up at 6:45. As you know, by the way, no coach is leaving town like Kevin Willard, and
yep.
That got me in a bad mood when I was reminded of that because I thought that was Bush League, but that's neither here nor there, and that's not why you called on me today to talk Wizards, probably.
No, it was not, Dave. Do you need someone to get over there and you be there just in case you can't see? Or honestly, Dave, I mean, we talked about this before. It's the radio. You can make it up.
That's true.
Oh, Jordan Poole just hit his 28th three of the game. What do you know? It's the first quarter.
We always say it's better on radio.
Yes. Yes, indeed. I don't know. Dave, we'll talk about the Nets game and the week ahead and all that stuff in a second. Radio, TV, you give up 162 like they did to the Pacers the other night. I don't know if that's better anywhere. I did have a very funny interaction with my wife about that because we were watching the NCAA tournament games and I got the final score alert on my phone. I was not watching the Wizards game. And I go, oh, the Wizards gave up 162 tonight. And Dave, I swear to God, she looks at me and she goes, that's an option? what happened in that game? It's an anomaly, right? It's not a reflection on anything. Like
sometimes
NBA teams just catch fire, and that kind of thing. I know the Wizards aren't the world's greatest defensive team. That can happen to anyone. Why did it happen to the Wizards with what the Pacers did the other day?
It was they made threes. They made 27 threes, a franchise record, 27 threes.
That'll
and you know
do
what?
It.
You know, we talk about, you know, three-point defense. Well, you know what? Unless you tackle them, and if a guy's going to make shots, he's going to make shots. And they just were not missing. Now, I'm not excusing that, but what I'm saying is, as the game went on and they kept making all these threes, you're thinking, this is not going well. So, but that is the key. It is anomaly. This team has been competitive. You know, in terms of just the same week, they're at Madison Square Garden, and they actually fell down by 33 points and made it a four-point game late. And the Knicks can go, say, on a Saturday night at the Garden when they're battling for the right playoff position. They're not, they don't want to lose the Wizards. Nobody wants to lose the Wizards, quite frankly. That was just the night where you just thought, I don't believe what's going on. And you just move on from that, and they did. You know, the irony, the most points previous to that that the Wizards had given up was 159. And it was in a Wizards loss, 159 to 158.
Wow.
Against the Houston Rockets. And it would have been a game that everyone would have been talking about for weeks, because it was a four-quarter game, not overtime, 159-158. Why were people not talking about it? It was the season opener for the Wizards on the same night the Nationals won the World Series.
So the next day, I'm glad I asked about that, because we just got Wizards trivia out of you.
No, but it was one of those things where, as we're going through the game, like, this is one of the greatest NBA games I've ever been a part of. But, you know, we also are keeping the Nationals on the scoreboard. And the game ended, and we were all still staying here watching the Nationals clinch or win the World Series. If I remember correctly, we stayed here regardless. I forget what time it was. But the bottom line, that was one of the greatest games I ever was a part of. And the next morning on WTOP at the time, I just barely mentioned it, because the Nationals won the World Series.
That is a great story. That's just crazy.
Now, of course, when we give up 162 points, it's not on the same night when the Nationals win the World Series. Then next day, everybody's talking about it.
Well, luckily, it was the same night as the NCAA tournament. It was a Friday night.
True.
And you know, now here we are on a Monday, and I'm the jerk that's bringing it up. So that's on me.
Thanks a lot.
But they then played played the Nets really tough. And in that game, you know, a guy that I'm curious to ask you about is A.J. Johnson. Yep. He plays 42 minutes in this game as a 20-point night. And I know that the organization looks at that trade as, like, we got another first-round pick.
Right.
And you've talked about it with us, too, how they now have four first-rounders from this year. How have you seen his game grow since he got it? Because he didn't play a ton in Milwaukee, and now he's got some experience under his belt. So how is he adapting and evolving over this, you know, these 2 months here?
Well, this is a team, the Wizards. It's a team opportunity. Quite frankly, this is what, you know, the ownership, the management, transparent that they were going to, you know, start over. They're going to draft young players. Well, of course, draft young players. You're not drafting 40-year-olds, but you know what I'm saying. You get a core group in here, and let them play, and let them see what happens. And you see what happens. And when Alex Starr, Bob Carrington, and Keshawn George all season long are averaging between 25 and 30 minutes or whatever the number is, and it's somewhere in that vicinity, you're going to find out, do we have something here, or, wow, maybe we made the wrong choice in the first round. That happens. That happens to all teams. Needless to say, Alex Starr is a Rookie of the Year candidate. Bob Carrington, Keshawn George is the one that I don't think a lot of people talked about. And he was playing his best basketball, unfortunately, before the ankle injury. But A.J. Johnson gets drafted by a team, the Bucks, where it's a different situation. You're going to go to the Wisconsin Herd. And that's not a negative, because, look, we've seen, you know, a guy named Chris Middleton developed in the G League and later starred for the Milwaukee Bucks. So the point is, the great thing about the G League now, you do have a situation where you have stories that come out of there of players that make it in the NBA that in another generation would have been lost. They would have been cut from the NBA team, and they would have taken a contract in Europe, and you never would have heard from them again. So it's a different dynamic, and it's definitely a positive. So, you know, A.J. Johnson, career high, 42 minutes, career high in points and 20 points. But it's not, you know, we can get caught up in numbers, but he is fearless in the way he attacks the basket. He hit a big three-pointer to put the Wizards up late the other night against the Brooklyn Nets. Yes, he can make the three-point shot. Wizards fans have been excited about him from his first game here, where he jumps out of the gym on the slam dunk. So he performs the highlight plays to get everybody oohing and ahhing, and he's had a few ooh and ah moments, not only in this building, but on the road. You know, he had a reverse dunk the other night. But his game is more than just, you know, the NBA All-Star dunk contest game. He can do that. He can elevate. He can get up. But he's showing that, you know, he's got such a complement of skills that You can see why he was a first round pick, and he's going to get his opportunity here with the Wizards, which why he was excited about the trade. Here's a guy that everybody wants an opportunity to get on the court in the NBA and show what they can do. And as Chris Wright, who does, as you know, the former Georgetown star, does our post game on Michelob Ultra, appears on Monumental Sports Network. As he says, boy, he would be loving to play as a young player, playing for the Wizards, because you know what? You make a mistake, you're not looking over your shoulder. You're not getting 10 minutes of garbage time, for lack of a better bit, or just coming off the bench at the end of the game. You're in situations and in games, whether it's Denver, whether it's Brooklyn, or the Knicks, even though they, you know, again, sometimes the final score of games don't tell the story of how the Wizards played. The other night in New York, when the Wizards ended up losing like 122-103, it was a 4-point game at one point in the fourth quarter. When you have a competitive game in the fourth quarter, that's important. So this is how the Wizards determined they're going to get better. Develop talent by playing them, get them out on the court, see what we got, see what they can do, and quite frankly, you see it in their attitude, in their confidence, because they've been thrown up against first team opposition, and you know, you're starting to see the excitement, certainly with AJ Johnson as he came here. I mean, you go from a player going back and forth to the G League to, wow, you know, I've got a chance to start, I've got a chance to play, you know, 40 minutes, I've got a chance to show him.
For sure, and I think he has. I think you can see the confidence growing as well. Next up tonight against Miami, they've won four straight. They're hanging on to the 10th and final play-in spot, if you will, playoff spot, tied with the Bulls for ninth, trying to hold off Toronto, last team eligible to make it in the Eastern Conference. Dave, appreciate the time, sir. Your pregame starts 32 and a half minutes from now. Are you ready?
There we go. Well, then I'll stay in position. I'm ready.
All right,
I'm
all ready. Right. He's ready to go. Appreciate you as always, Dave. Thanks very much. Dave Johnson, the play-by-play voice of the Washington Wizards, with us here on the radio. Of course, each and every Wizards game live here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. When we get back, more hoops tonight. We got two Final Four spots on the line for the ladies. We'll preview TCU and Texas, as well as UConn and USC. But first, everything else in the world of women's sports. It's presented to you by Wawa. Chicken how you want it at Wawa, with customizable crispy and roasted chicken sandwiches. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Tonight, it is the second night of the Elite Eight in Spokane for the ladies, UConn, USC, and then we got Texas and TCU. And first of all, Anthony, going back to the weekend in this tournament, the Notre Dame-TCU game was everything that it was, everything that we thought it would be.
Yeah.
What a banger of that one. By the way, how much did you watch this weekend? Because I know you were in Jamaica, mostly not paying attention, but did you get a chance to watch any of these games?
So I didn't get to watch any of the women's games. I watched the Duke versus Arizona game. I was locked in on that one. That was my only time I could, like, really nap or, like,
late night.
Yeah. But I went back and rewatched a lot of the women's games, like, I was like, I gotta see what I missed, because all of the games were like close, down to the wire. Even the Duke South Carolina game, like,
yeah.
I didn't really give Duke that much of a chance, and they had a lead going into the fourth. So, I went back and watched most of these games. They were all pretty good.
Yeah, I didn't get the chance to watch either the LSU UCLA or Duke South Carolina game yesterday, because I was at an event all day, an event that we'll talk about more for funsies tomorrow on the show. Just ran out of time today. But the games on Saturday, I was pretty locked into, especially that Notre Dame TCU game. I mean, Oklahoma UConn at night. I mean, Paige had 40. That was crazy.
Yeah.
To go on a 19-0 run all by yourself in the second half. And there's this great quote from Gino where I guess it was either halftime, maybe it was first quarter.
It was the third quarter.
Was it the third quarter interview?
It was the third quarter going.
No, that's right. It was, because then that I forgot that whole run's in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All in the fourth quarter, 19-0 run.
Crazy. And, yeah, she outscored Oklahoma 19-13 in the fourth quarter. Gino's like, there's times where I just know Paige isn't going to shoot. And I wish that she would just shoot it. And Paige came out and shot that thing and just hit three after three after three. 40.6 rebounds, three steals for Beckers. But in the Notre Dame TCU game, man, Notre Dame just couldn't hit layups. Like, it was bizarre. They would get good shots, they would get downhill, and they just could not hit layups. And that's kind of been a thing for Notre Dame. And in that fourth quarter, they couldn't get hit anything. They only have 10 points. TCU outscores them 20-10 in the fourth quarter. And, I mean, good for Haley Van Lith, who just had a really rough year last year under Kim Mulkey at LSU. Just didn't seem like it was a good fit at all. It seemed like the relationship between her and Mulkey wasn't very good, or at the very least, the basketball relationship, if not more. I mean, Mulkey's a nightmare to deal with, in my opinion. I know some players have really liked her, but, like, she ain't my cup of tea. Van Lith, 26 points, 9 rebounds, 4 assists, and she does enough defensively against these guards at Notre Dame that they're able to win the game. Because, you know, like, you would think that between Hannah Hidalgo, Olivia Miles, Sonia Cintrone, that one of them would have been able to go at Van Lith defensively. And Haley was just like, nah, I'm good. She had a couple blocks, a couple steals in this game. All right. She's credited with one block and one steal, but she made some other plays that you know, affected it. And 3 for 19 from Hidalgo, 3 yep. for 10 for Miles, who will be the second pick if she comes out in the draft behind Beckers. 4 of 15 for Cintrone. And, I mean, these are not like, I mean, they didn't shoot well from three, obviously. 0 of 3 for Hidalgo, 2 of 3 for Miles, 0 of 3 from Cintrone. They're missing shots in the paint. Right, left, center, reverse, straight on. And that's how TCU is able to advance to this national quarterfinal against Texas tonight.
Yeah, I think a lot of people sort of kind of overlooked TCU. I know.
I didn't pick them.
I didn't pick him either. I had Notre Dame winning. I didn't expect Hannah Hidalgo to go 3 for 19. There was a game earlier this year. She dropped 36, close to 40. A couple of times, you also have two-time All-American Olivia Miles. Like, they are loaded over
there. They're loaded. Hidalgo, Miles, and Cintrone will all be top five picks in the next two drafts.
Yeah. So I honestly didn't give TCU all that much of a chance. But in March, I feel like if you play defense – and you let a team hang around, and there's a reason they won 19-1 in their conference and won
they're great
conference tourney. So I think they just, you know, stepped up to the plate when the moment was here, and Haley Van Lith was able to, like, lead her team. And I'm hoping they can do the same tonight. They have a little bit taller of a task because Texas is huge. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, for sure. It's so weird seeing TCU. It's like, oh, the Big 12 champs. Wait, what happened? Oh, right, they're in the SEC now.
Yeah.
That's what happened to that. And by the way, it might be the next three drafts of the Notre Dame guard because Hidalgo is only a sophomore, so she might wind up going all 4 years, and in which case it would be three drafts from now. By the way, don't forget, 2 weeks from today is the WNBA draft.
Dang, I forget. Yeah, the turnaround
is
so crazy.
Fast. It's the 14th. We got a special show that day that we'll tell you a little bit more about in the next. Remind me to text Drabby in the morning and see what we're allowed to say about that. But WNBA draft day, the Mystics currently have the 3rd, 4th, and 6th picks in the first round. So we gonna do something a little bit different on that day because it is a big, big day for the Sticks. But TCU, Texas, they are going to battle tonight. Old rivals, of course, from the Big 12. Texas now in the SEC. And the player that you need to know from Texas is Madison Booker. Mm. She wears 35, so you get the Durant flashbacks. But she's also, like, tall, lanky, and can put the ball on the floor and shoot and do all of the things. Like, it's not just that she wears 35 in that jersey. Not to mention everyone else they got. Like, they're short in terms of rotation. Only play 8. Really, it's like 7, you know, kind of 6 eat most of the minutes. But it is a really talented team that was toe-to-toe with South Carolina all year in the SEC, barely lost to them in the SEC tournament, I think, was a bigger win for South Carolina, but played them really close in the SEC in conference play multiple times. Like, this is a very, very good team. I don't have to make a pick, Anthony. I think I picked Notre Dame coming out of this bracket, so
yeah.
I already was wrong, so I can just skip the pick part of it.
I wish I could go. If UConn was a 1 seed, I would say all the 1s would go. But I think I'm going to pick Texas to win this game.
Yeah, I would probably pick Texas as well. But, like, don't sleep on TCU.
Yeah, it's going to be good.
I think I'm rooting for TCU. Like, I would love to see Van Lith break through and you know, have some Final Four redemption after last year. You know, especially with LSU getting knocked out.
Yep, Sweet 16.
Hey, oh, so sorry, Kim Mulkey. It's really cool that the player that you gave mental health problems is now going farther than you in the tournament.
Yep.
Was that too much? No, it was the exact right amount. UConn, USC. This should have been, if Juju Watkins isn't hurt, this is the matchup of the year. Yep. This is Angel versus Caitlin. It's the two biggest stars in the sport. And they would have been heads up on each other, Beckers versus Watkins. Instead, you still have a really, really good USC team. Like, they're number one seed because of Juju, but also not entirely because of Juju. They played really well in that game where Juju got hurt. She got hurt early, and they smashed Mississippi State 96-59. They had their troubles with Kansas State, who's a good team. That's the five seed, 67-61, that final score. But look, do I think UConn's winning this game? Yeah, I picked UConn to win the whole damn thing. But this should be a really fun game tonight. And the question to me is actually not as, like, obviously, do they have someone who can slow down Beckers? Do they have someone on the perimeter who can slow down AZ Fudd? But also, the matchup inside between Iriafin and Sarah Strong. Sarah Strong, the national freshman of the year, number one recruit in last year's class, stud post player for UConn, going against the player who might be the third. She might be a Mystic in 2 weeks, is the number three overall pick in Kiki Iriafin. So that is the battle. If that is neutral, then UConn's going to win. If Iriafin has a night, then USC's obviously got a chance.
Yeah, I mean, I just think the task is too tall for USC without Juju. Again, we saw what Beckers did yesterday. AZ didn't have that all that crazy of a game. Hannah Strong didn't have that crazy of a game. And, like, they just have to, like, this year, Paige has reinforcements. Last year, they were hurt. They didn't have the talent that they have this year.
Aaliyah was getting in foul trouble all the damn time.
Exactly. So I think the task is too tall. But, hey, USC can defend. Like, that's what they're going to have to lean their hat on. They have Kennedy Smith, who's a freshman. You can try to put her on AZ or Paige, but I don't know. You got to pick your poison when it comes to this team.
Luckily, Aaliyah's figured out how to play better and slash the WNBA.
Yes, sir.
A little bit better. And now I can't wait for
her sophomore year. And she got one-on-one moves.
Yeah, I'm so excited for her sophomore year. I'm so excited. I'm so excited for Media Day because she's hilarious and fun to talk to. And Media Day this year is going to be a blast. But, yeah, it should be a fun one. That's a 9 o'clock game tonight. So those games are on the ESPN Family Networks. I think they're actually both on main ESPN. All right, we get back. Wrap up the show. Real things where people said into real microphones. Then we are off. They're off to the Wizards pregame here on the Team 980. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Should be live on YouTube too at the Team 980. Tomorrow on the show, we have NFL rule changes. We'll see if there's any updates on Maryland's coaching search. It's a vibe check Tuesday. Vegas has put out their over-unders on win totals for the season. Tell you now, Commanders is 10.5. If you want to let us know how you feel about that, you got to call tomorrow in the 4 o'clock hour because it's a vibe check Tuesday, and that's how that goes. There's also a chance there's going to be more news out of the NFL owners' meetings. I do believe the coaches' breakfast is tomorrow, so I think that means we get some Dan Quinn sound. If not, then we'll have that on Wednesday because I'm not there. I don't have the schedule anymore. But I remember that being a two-day event with the coaches' breakfast being on the second day. And you walk around the fancy hotel all day and see if you can get some more time with the executives and folks. And then you get on a plane and you go home. That was back in the day when I went places, Anthony. Now I sit here at this microphone and I talk to you and everybody else.
You sound upset. Maybe upset is a strong word. You sound like you miss it.
I miss... The owners' meetings is one of the best ones on the docket.
Okay,
it's a good one. So there's a lot. It's just, when else do you get to go sit in on a scrum with all the NFL owners, or go talk to someone, or find some executive in the hallway and just have a chat? I also used to, one of the things that I actually really enjoyed that made me feel smarter about the game was the officials would hold media sessions to explain the new rules. So you hey, I'm not doing anything right now. I'm just waiting on such and such to get out of a meeting. Oh, look, the officiating briefing is happening. And like the league head of officiating would, and like two referees would lead you through a bunch of tape and be like, hey, this is legal. This is not. This is going to be a point of emphasis this year. This is not. This is the rule change that we're considering. Like, so it's good information. And you just sit around a really fancy hotel all day. It's not where you stay.
What about the food?
You're kind of on your own for food. It's not like it's catered. If you want to be able to eat at the hotel that you're at's restaurant, typically you can get some pretty good grub. But you also might not be able to afford it depending on how liberal your expense account is.
That too.
Because like, you know the hotel that you know exists somewhere around the corner that you're like, I will never stay in that hotel. I don't even know it's not even worth looking at the costs. Like, yeah. That's where they hold the thing. So they're at like the Breakers, Palm Beach. Mm. When have you ever gone searching for a hotel on vacation and looked at the Breakers, Anthony?
Would it be crazy if I told you I don't even know what that hotel is?
That's kind of the point.
Okay.
Yeah. God, I was just in Phoenix. What is the one that's out there? The Biltmore, Phoenix. That's expensive. One. There's that one, and they're always in like cities that you would never go to either.
Would you say the Ritz-Carlton is a hotel that's sort of kind of affordable, but not as expensive as the ones you're talking about right now?
Yeah. Okay. Like we're talking, what's the stage up from the Ritz? Because that's NFL owner money. Yeah. And that's where they hold the meetings.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Because I know how much it costs to stay at the Ritz.
Right. Yeah, I've looked at Ritz's on like hotels.com type websites or whatever, you know, my Capital One, my this, my that. Oh, look, did you stay at a Ritz this weekend in Jamaica, Anthony?
No.
Did you go to a Ritz and steal a water bottle in Jamaica, Anthony?
No.
How'd you get that water bottle?
This is from two Thursdays ago. I had grabbed two water bottles from when I stayed up there.
Where did you stay at a Ritz?
In Philly.
Oh, because you were there with Zaire, though.
Yeah.
Doing like for an event that he was putting on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got to stay there.
That's pretty nice. Did you have to pay for that, or did Z hook you up?
Z hooked me up.
Your guy got a nice little extension a couple years ago. Yeah. No, see, the players can stay at the Ritz.
Yeah, they can do that.
The owners are like, the Ritz, man, if I have to. You know, yeah,
that's
like,
insane. Man.
Most of us look at it as like a Holiday Inn Express. It's like, it's not my number one choice, but like, I'll be fine with the Holiday Inn Express. It's a perfectly fine hotel.
Yeah.
They got the cinnamon buns and the whole deal. That's how NFL owners are looking at like a Ritz-Carlton. Must be nice. Must be nice. There's something else I was going to say off of that. I don't remember what it was. What? I was like, what? If we had a road trip, Anthony, what hotel would this radio show be? And I was like, you know what? We shouldn't answer that. We should, for a multitude of reasons.
I was prepared, though. I'm not going to lie. I was going to be honest.
For a multitude of reasons.
Oh, yeah, that too.
You know, we should not answer that. All hotels that want to potentially sponsor this show, we think you're great. And notoriously, we're looking for sponsors. Also on the show tomorrow, the Weekend in Review, brought to you by...
Nobody, Craig.
Yeah, that was one of the multitude of reasons.
Real things.
We're not gonna be served this year.
Real people.
5-11. Not very good.
Said into real microphones.
You know, the culture is actually damn good.
Alrighty, here we go. What?
We gotta play it. We gotta play it.
Earlier today on the Chris Russell Show. This exchange happened between Metal Chris and the Rooster.
Before we turn things over to Craig Hoffman, we have a special little surprise. Metal Chris is the father of two young daughters, one of which is 5 years old, and she's making her radio debut. Daddy said, hey, I'm going to work with the Rooster today, Chris Russell. And here was her response.
All right, where do you think Rooster lives?
On the top of a barn.
And what do you think he does every day?
Go, cock-a-doodle-dow! Like a rooster.
That's awesome.
I don't know where Chris lives. I don't think he lives on top of a barn. Sometimes when I come in here after him, it feels like I've entered a barn.
Yeah.
He definitely just goes cock-a-doodle-doo all day.
That was hilarious, man.
That's real good. Bresh, excellent work out of you. Speaking of dad stuff, Lakers and Rockets tonight. The first time that Jabari Smith Jr., the Rockets' young forward, played LeBron James, he told him this.
You played against my dad, your first NBA game ever. Really? Sacramento. Yeah. You feel old, don't you?
That was my first time playing against him. You know, we was coming down the court, and it was kind of like a dead ball situation. And, you know, it was kind of a time for me to, like, say something. I could say something. I said it, you know what I'm saying? I didn't really go into the game thinking, like, I'm going to say this to him. It was just kind of like, I'm going to tell him real quick, see what he say. It was cool playing against him just because I looked up to him so much. One of the greatest players ever, the greatest player ever. Just playing against him was a surreal moment. My dad was courtside at the game. You know, he played against him the first game, and he got the first look at him, and he knew from the jump he was going to be something special.
Thanks to the NBA and the Rockets for that. He almost said it like he was talking trash. Like, yo, old man, you're so old that you played against my dad in your first ever game. That's almost how his voice sounded.
Nah, it definitely did. But it's still just so crazy to see LeBron played against.
He played against a lot of dudes' dads.
Oh, my God.
There is like...
Coaches, like...
Oh, God. The number of coaches that... I mean, JJ, his coach... was drafted after him, had a 15-year career, and is now his head coach.
Yeah. Yeah. Insane.
It's bananas how long LeBron has been playing. LeBron's career can drink. Wizards, Heat tonight at Capital One Arena. Coverage next here on the Team 980. We'll see you tomorrow.